Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi, thanks for being with us.
Janie and I are going to be talking about grace today.
But the Lord Jesus deserves to be trusted. And since He says that I have forgiven, then we can trust His wisdom and His grace and His knowledge in being willing to forgive those that are our enemies. And that then allows the joy to start to flow back within your life. And when the joy starts to flow back in your life, there is an inward and an outward manifestation that we know that forgiveness is real.
It is a difficult thing to understand and accept in our lives, this grace that's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to dive in.
Well, Sharon, grace is such a common word in the scriptures, especially the New Testament. And yet, I don't know if you were to ask someone to stand up and give a definition that they would be able to perhaps give anything more than what is the popular definition, that it's unmerited favor. And we can understand that to a degree, but let's see how much just practicality we can put to it, that people can grab a hold of it and rest in the grace, and then recognize that we can also, as the scripture says, we can make grace void. Not that it still doesn't flow, but that we stop it up, like when they had the Nile flowing in Egypt, and then they decided a few decades ago to build the Aswan Dam. And they stopped the flow of the Nile flooding every year. Now, it's still flooded back within the backside, but when you study the negative impact that that had, because the dam stopped the natural flow. And so many times we stop the natural 24/7 flow of grace because we don't understand the different aspects.
I think that we look at grace as the salvation part of grace. Mm-hmm. And going beyond that is really hard to grab a hold of for us for some reason.
It's a mystery, and it's something that isn't taught a whole lot with simplicity and clarity. I do hear it being taught with a lot of what we've termed religious jargon or religious phrases. But if you're in pain and you've suffered a death, or you're enduring a physical affliction, or you've had a loss of some kind or a rejection, boy, we need to have terms of grace that fit the occasion so that we can rely on the grace rather than just saying it doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kind of look into some different aspects of grace that goes beyond salvation, Janie, and maybe that will help us to understand where we need to allow that grace to flow in our lives.
Well, all right. But Sharon, can I back us up just a second and make sure that we are established on the initial benefits? Because if we don't understand the initial benefits of grace, it may be able to comprehend how that grace then moves us into death to self, because that's where we want to trip up.
Sure.
Going through the New Testament this week, I marked that 16 of the 28 books in the New Testament open up, and whether it's Paul or whether it was Peter, open up with the salutation of grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I stopped and meditated on that a little bit, one thing I wanted to bring out that is a side note but very important, and that is that little three-letter word, and, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people in current Christendom right now want to separate that. Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't understand God the Father, or God the Father is some distant spirit out in the cosmos, but Jesus is my friend. Mm-hmm. But when you see the salutation that was given, they're all together. Jesus and the Lord are a package. And we can talk about the different aspects, but they're a package. And then grace and peace. And even in a couple of those, Paul brought out, and mercy.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother one.
Yeah, so we might even just give a casual definition of those three today to see how Paul is saying, dearest beloved, having grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is a basketful that we could start to just break down word for word. But we need to take those salutations as a gift of comfort, as a gift of confidence, as a gift of assurance that what is going to be said afterwards is going to be able to be made real because of the grace and the peace and the mercy.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So you're talking about salvation. What grace brings at salvation? This basic grace.
Yes. And one thing that I think that you can elaborate on so well, because you've talked about it much in the past, and that is the first thing that we can say that grace really gives us is forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you want to comment on that a little bit, and then we can say forgiveness from what?
Yeah. Well, it is something that can hold us in bondage. It holds us in chains of bondage. And when we can forgive, and sometimes we don't even know that we're holding on to it, until we pray and ask God to show us. That's what I did. I prayed and asked God to show me who I hadn't forgiven. And there were people I had completely forgotten about that I hadn't forgiven. And so I could feel the physical effects.
In your body.
In my physical body when I forgave.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing to me. I never realized that there was such a weight on me. But when I forgave, that weight of bondage was lifted. And so forgiveness is quite important. And it's easy to fall into the trap that if you don't forgive, then you're not releasing that person. And the truth is, if you don't forgive, you're not releasing yourself.
That's right.
And so we think we're setting somebody free when we forgive them, and when really we're setting ourselves free.
Free.
So, that's right. And that's the lie that we believe, that if I forgive that person, then I am setting them free to go do it again. Well, what you do has nothing to do with what they're going to do.
That's right.
Our forgiveness is setting us free. And from personal experience, I would just encourage you, if you have anybody that you're not forgiving, you will be amazed at how physically you will feel that forgiveness set you free.
Well, I have a one-liner that impressed me this week in that subject, sharing on forgiveness, and that is, we do not deserve to be forgiven, but the Lord Jesus deserves to be trusted. And since he says that I have forgiven, then we can trust his wisdom and his grace and his knowledge and being willing to forgive those that are our enemies or are making lives miserable for us each day. And that then allows the joy to start to flow back within your life. And when the joy starts to flow back in your life, there is a inward and an outward manifestation that we know that forgiveness is real. And it might be neat if we just refer to 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay. Because when we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, it lets us know what are some of the effects of when we have been able to truly forgive. These things will then flow freely within us.
Where do we want to start, Jane?
Well, I think it's about, let me get to my Thessalonians. I should have already been there. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, about, let's go to, I keep looking at the text and backing up and backing up.
You want to start at 1?
But let's start in at 11. Because right before that, it just says that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we are talking mm-hmm. about. He died for us, so whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with Him. There is another example of grace to us. Now, because of that grace given to us, what are some of the things that are evident? Comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So we have the joy of comforting one another, to get up of a morning and say, Lord, how do you want your life in me to bless or comfort or build up someone mm-hmm, else today?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bring that person, whether it's a text, a phone message, an encounter at the store, or whether it's just interceding for them with supplication and intercessions and prayer.
And that's grace. That is allowing grace to flow through us. Is this what you're telling
me? Yes, because okay. I tell you what, apart from grace, we'll get up of a morning and say, what can I do for myself today that's going to protect me, keep me happy? It's a self-focus. Grace allows you to always be other-focused.
Okay.
All right. There are times that you do need to set boundaries, and we'll talk about that. But that setting boundaries is even to benefit the other person. Then you go on, and we are to be at peace amongst ourselves in verse 13. And many other places in Romans and other things, and in Corinthians it says to pursue peace. And that's got to be a spirit that's at rest, because I'll give you an example. You call somebody and you're going to try to really be give them a kind deed, and instead you get a harsh, critical, or a innuendo word that is not what you called for. Can you still then be at peace among yourself, within yourself? And then can you, in the phone call or what have you, or the confrontation at the house, can you then say, wait a minute, I don't need to retaliate because grace has already been given to me, that unmerited kindness, and so I can pass this grace on by giving back peace when strife was given to me, or where a little cutting word. And some people just have, it's the principle of, is your cup half full or half empty?
And that just takes discipline, right?
Discipline is a key word.
Discipline to not just let our flesh retaliate.
That's absolutely correct. Discipline is a part of grace. It's a part of grace.
And isn't it funny that discipline has now become a word like corporal punishment? Like it's a punishment if you discipline.
Yes. Well, we've lost the meaning of the true meaning of discipline is to build up and to know restraint. And nowadays, you only have to look at your social media or your news to see the lack of restraint, mm-hmm. the lack of discipline. People are constantly showing their reactions rather than their responses. And discipline is almost something that is reserved for the disciple that wants to go on with the Lord, or in a moral attitude with the military.
Right.
And we even see in the military that where that is
They've
being challenged.
They've had to slack on that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
then we move on, and grace tells us then that we have a responsibility. And that is to be faithful. So there are different people that we do encounter. And then in verse 14, it tells us that we've got the job to warn the unruly. And that word is a lesson in and of itself. But that's the person who really is going to be kind of a, if I can use a secular phrase, there's a song out, and I did it my way. Or there is a chain that has some good food, but they say, have it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the unruly lives a lifestyle of having it their way. And that, when you have it your way, then Sharon, you really make God a liar, because He never said that grace was given for you to have it your way or my way. That was
so
not,
we build the dam, so to speak.
We build the dam that for blocks the flow of the flow Nile of River. Okay. Yes, yes. Then we are to comfort the faint-hearted. This is another evidence that grace is ruling in our life. And to comfort the faint-hearted is to encourage. But many times it is to come alongside and put your arms around them and really like hold them up like their legs have gone weak and they cannot see and they need to be fortified with scripture, but they don't know what to do with the scriptures. Or I had an individual yesterday that got in touch with me and just said, I need to help this person, but I don't know where to go in the scriptures. And I really don't know what to say. I know the principle I want to get across, but they were just not able to put it together. Right. And so we, as my husband said, you wrote several books on your text message. He said, we've got to find a different way for you to do 6 pages under text messaging. But we were able to give that individual that wanted to help another the path to where they could start on. And it did strengthen them. And then we have the third part here, to uphold the weak. And that can be a new believer that just is still so much in the flesh and in themselves, and they don't see it.
Right.
It's the only way they've ever lived. So now that they're a new believer, and now that there is a hunger being created, we can say, well, dear, just grow in grace and knowledge, and you get the deer in the headlight. Oh,
like what?
You know, grace,
what
I know.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? But it gives us a hint because it says that we need to be patient with all. And that's another evidence that grace is working in our life. When, not that we can have controlled patience at the checkout line, but still being very distressed with impatience. Uh-huh. But when we can realize that all things are under the timing of the Lord at any given time,
I think patience is most difficult when time goes by. We talk about just the checkout line, but think about patience when you're in a situation that is lasting for months or weeks or even years. You know, the patience, that's long suffering, right? That goes beyond just that instant little 30 minutes in the checkout line.
Okay, now let me throw in a wild statement. I find that what challenges my patience the most is the enemy seeing the weakness in my character and in my life. And I'm going to make a wild statement now, so just stay seated. And I see that as a greater danger than an attack by a foreign government, because this is really the Ephesians 6, the wiles of the enemy, not putting on your armor. I am being attacked by terrorists, and the terrorists are the unseen forces that are determined to nullify grace in my life. Okay. So when I talk about maintaining grace and experiencing grace, I immediately have to have the mindset of a warrior, because grace is, life is all of grace. So if life is all of grace, then where is the enemy going to try to come and destroy that? And so it really becomes a battle with the enemy. And so I'm defining the enemy as a modern day for me, but been around since the beginning, that I'm under a terrorist attack. Now, do I plan for a spiritual terrorist attack the way I would for a physical terrorist attack? I'm probably more into protecting the physical than recognizing where the true terrorist attacks are hitting me to nullify grace.
That's a good visual, because we think about the ways that we protect ourselves, homeland security, and even having locks on our front doors.
Yes.
But as spiritual aspect,
where do we have our locks?
Where do we have our locks?
Yes.
And our chinks in our armor, where are they? So we know how to shore them up.
Yes. So. Well, let's go on here, because this is 1 Thessalonians 5, if I can get my brain to memorize this entire chapter, I know the gist of it, but I would like to just absolutely be able to say it as swiftly as I do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
You know. So it goes on and it says, then see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good. And I like this, for both you, yourselves, and for all. So when we are looking for staying away from evil but pursuing good, it's got to benefit the whole package. And then we're back to saying, oh, well, that makes sense, because Christ is the head and we're the body. And how do I take care of my hand and slap my knee? I mean, it's got mm-hmm. to benefit the head, the body, the arms, each part.
Right.
And you know what, Sharon? That takes some thought.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I will even be so intent to helping the other person that I set myself up for impossible situations where the Lord said, I never meant for you to go to that level.
Yeah.
I never meant for that to be a part of the overall game plan. You're
right.
Sacrificing out of your own strength.
Right.
And that isn't pretty.
Yeah.
Because you'll have resentment sooner or later,
mm-hmm.
see.
Yeah.
And so grace needs to flow in all directions. Then just quickly, we know that we're under grace when we're always willing to rejoice. No matter what the circumstances, it's just God is good. Can't see how you're good right now, Lord, but you say you're good. Your word is true. I'm going to rejoice. You're good.
I know you're good.
I know
there's some good that's going to come from you.
And it's in my heart. My emotions are struggling a little right now, Lord, but I'm standing on the truth. And stand on the truth, one of the way we can easily do that is pray without ceasing. We just don't pray as we have been given the grace to do so.
Right.
And then we wonder why other parts of our lives are hindered.
That's because without prayer, we dam up the flow of grace.
That's right. That's right. And it can be flowing in the back part of the of your life, but it's not coming forth and being given out with joy unspeakable, as we've talked about in the past. And then in everything, give thanks. And then we have two admonitions that we're told flowing in grace. One is don't quench, and one is don't grieve. And if I keep continuing on, I'm probably going to do both, because I think we're getting limited in our time. So why don't you decide how you want us to close this today?
Well, pray without ceasing. So we've just talked about the very basics of grace, and so let's give that opportunity to someone else that maybe is listening that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Janie.
All right. Then I tell you what, I will just say a little prayer. And
okay.
You may not be able to follow word for word, but listen with your heart. And if you're in agreement with the words that are being spoken to the Father, then you can say, Lord, I accept. Father God, as the God of love, you're drawing me to yourself to be a part of your family. I know and confess that I'm a sinner living for myself. I ask that you take my life and I give you control so that I can be a part of your family forever. Lord, I want to know you and live according to your plan. Please open my eyes and teach me the way I should go. And Lord, I thank you for all your promises in the Bible, that they are true, and I choose you because you have chosen me. In your Son's precious name, I give you my heart. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Janie. That's all the time we have for today.
This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.